And welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Of course, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, right here on the show with us on this Monday morning. Of course, you can always check out the website, VeritasMedical.com. Always check out that website, VeritasMedical.com. Past archive programs, you can certainly go there to check it out. And located right here in Lubbock. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you today?
I am doing good, doing good. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving week and everything went well.
We had a big week. We actually moved to a new home that fits our big family. With our six children.
Six kids.
We're busy moving and unpacking, and we're 80% unpacked, so it was a good week.
Wow.
Lots to be thankful for.
No doubt about that.
Hope y'all had a good one.
We did. We did. Everything went smooth. Picked up a little cough over the week, but nothing I can't handle. But these cough drops, I mean, you know, I've tried everything on the planet. Doesn't really, I hate having a little, it's just kind of those grindy coughs.
Yeah.
It just,
they're annoying.
It almost happens every Thanksgiving. Mm. And I just go, oh. My wife gets mad at me because she goes, quit saying that every Thanksgiving because then it will happen. Your mind is powerful.
It is very powerful.
And I'm like, okay, but every Thanksgiving I get this cough.
Don't say that.
I know, but here
you
I
just
am.
Cursed yourself for next
I know,
Thanksgiving.
I know. Next Thanksgiving 2020.
Yeah, those coughs can be annoying, but it is the body's way to deal with and help eliminate those germs and toxins that are causing the cough. So I understand you need to suppress it some. Obviously, your livelihood on the radio. I haven't found a foolproof 100% concoction to knock out a cough, but there are various things that can help suppress a little bit.
Well, one thing I did that I found is really good and was to, instead of always reaching for an antibiotic, you know, people usually, well, I feel something coming on, let's throw a big heavy dose of antibiotics at it, which is not the right way to go. But what I did do over the last 3 days, which is a fantastic second time I've done this, is take colloidal silver and put it in a vaporizer thing and let it vape, and then you breathe it in.
Right.
Do that for like 10 or 15 minutes, two or three times a day.
Yep.
Ooh, that'll knock out anything.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
have you ever done that?
Yes, it can be a very powerful thing. I recommend a silver hydrosol called Argentin 23. And that's a doctor brand version that you get at a doctor's office. The over the counter kind of diluter version from this more dilute version from the same company is called Sovereign Silver. But a nano silver or you got to be careful and pick the right silver. In fact, I think there's some colloidal silvers that actually disrupt your copper iron status, and we'll talk to Morley about that. It is First Monday with Morley today,
yes.
And we'll bring him on in just a second. But Manuka honey is something we found good to help suppress a cough, too. Obviously, the underlying thing, you want to bolster your terrain so that the body can naturally fight off these bugs to begin with, but we're all susceptible to some degree. What Weston A. Price found in the 1920s is ancestral folks that were still eating and living like their ancestors were resistant to tuberculosis. These villages would not get tuberculosis, and then a village right down the road, you know, a few miles or dozens of miles down the road, who were eating processed grains and sugars were dying from tuberculosis. It was a very interesting finding, and it just highlights that it really is more about the terrain than it is the germ. And what Dr. Price found was that was really it. It was just dietary differences that allowed the tuberculosis germ to thrive in the population that was not consuming the healthy fats and the fermented foods and the traditional ancestral foods, and the folks that were consuming modern foods, the flour and the sugar, were more susceptible not only to tuberculosis but other diseases. So that's why we harp on terrain so much, because that's really what it's all about. And before we bring Morley in, which we're super excited to have Morley, he's constantly bringing us the latest and greatest research that really points back down to this mineral imbalance as one of the key terrain disruptors. And we were at a conference together a couple weeks ago. I summarized that conference on our last show, or two shows ago. You know, it just highlighted to me again that it really is about this terrain. There are many great presenters there. Stephanie Seneff, who's we've had on the show here a couple times, she was talking about glyphosate, Roundup, and presenting new data, new research. That was pretty awesome. Jeffrey Smith, who did the movie Genetic Roulette and Secret Ingredients, we've had him on the show. He was there, of course, talking about Roundup, glyphosate, GMOs, genetically modified organisms. Dr. Griffin Cole, the dentist, was there talking about mercury and dental toxins. Of course, Dr. Cowan was there with structured water. Dr. Jerry Tennant with voltage. But all these things obviously they're true, that these toxins can damage us. When your voltage is down in your cell, the cell's more susceptible to disease and dysfunction. The water won't be structured inside your cell and therefore not function. The cell can't function as well. All those things are true, but the underpinning of and common denominator and all that is healthy mitochondria. If you've got healthy mitochondria and you've got good mineral balances, then you're able to produce the antioxidant enzymes to battle against the free radicals. You're able to grab and conjugate and deconjugate and do all the things with the toxins that you need to do to expel the toxins. You're able to bolster your immunity better. You're able to raise your voltage better. You're able to structure your own water better when your mitochondria is working right. And it works right mostly when you get your minerals and your fats right. So it kind of boils down to the same basic concepts that Morley and I talk about all the time. So it was good to hear all those things, but just to reiterate the very, very basic foundational terrain things. So, Morley, welcome. Sorry we've been ignoring you, but we're glad to have you this fine December 2nd, first Monday of December. We know you're always uncovering some new stuff, and we're excited to hear about and to continue to follow the rabbit trail down to mineral imbalance. So thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Well, thank you. You know, it's always good to be here. And that was a great introductory overview of what we'll be chatting about. And I think it's hard. You know, there was a barista at Starbucks, and people need to know I go to Starbucks every morning at 5 o'clock to read for 3 hours. And the barista today said, What are you studying?
Everything.
Yeah. And I had a woman the other day come up to me, older woman, she was probably in her 60s. And she literally put her face into my face. She says, "What exactly are you studying?" She turned out to be a nurse educator. And she wants to have lunch to find out what I know that she wasn't taught as a nurse. Mm. But what's fascinating is, I think it's hard for people who follow this program, who pride themselves on their intellect, to believe that there's just a couple minerals that get messed up. And when they get messed up, the whole train comes off the track. Mm-hmm. And there's a simplicity and an enormity to this whole dynamic. I think for the listeners who may have caught what Dr. Ben just said, that he gave a presentation at the Weston A. Price meeting in Allen, Texas. I would encourage people to go to the Weston A. Price Foundation website and order the copy of his presentation, which was masterful and really helped bring these concepts to a level that we can all understand and really make it very accessible. That even with all the dialogue that we have had, I was just so appreciative of what you did to connect some dots at that meeting that we had never really talked about before. So I just want people to know that even though we keep talking about the same minerals, the nuances and the connections keep getting richer and richer and richer. And let me give you one example that I think is important, because in a given population, if there's an epidemic, it means that over 7% of the people in that population have the same condition. Well, the recent estimates, at least in the United States, is that about 30% of people have a problem metabolizing sugar. and they're at varying stages of diabetes. Type 1 means they were born insulin deficient or unable to make insulin, but type 2 diabetes is the much more predominant form, and it is an epidemic if it's around 30% of the population is struggling to metabolize sugar. And anyone who's worried about their blood sugar levels, is worried about the level of blood glucose and the level of insulin in their blood. And the term that's bannered about is called insulin resistance. Oh, you have insulin resistance. As though that comes from Mars, and it doesn't. It comes from inside iron-toxic bodies. And iron-toxic bodies are made from copper-deficient bodies. But what I stumbled upon in the last couple of weeks is some very important research from the 1970s from England, where they were studying copper deficiency on the farm and studying what's the biggest impact it's having on the animals. And the lead researcher on the study was Dr. Fell, F-E-L-L, and I've read a lot of articles. I've probably read maybe 5,000 articles in the last 10 years. But this one absolutely caught me off guard and stopped me in my tracks. Because what I learned is that the mechanism, the metabolic breakdown that we have been trained to call diabetes, starts years earlier inside our pancreas. Now, many of the folks have probably heard of the pancreas, and it's a fascinating part of our anatomy. What does pancreas mean? Pan means tissue or body. Creas, to create tissue. That's what the pancreas does, is it helps the body to create new tissue. There's two parts to the pancreas. There's a part that secretes digestive enzymes, and that's the biggest part of the pancreas. It's like 90% of it. And then there's a part that it's called the head that secretes insulin. And that helps us deal with blood sugar and actually helps us store fat. And again, all of our consciousness has been directed to that head of the pancreas, and let's ignore the body of the pancreas. When in fact the breakdown is years earlier in the body of the pancreas, and those, the cells that make up that part of the body, they're called acinar cells, A-C-I-N-A-R, and those are the very cells that secrete the digestive enzymes into our intestine so we can digest our food. It's like we can't process our food if we don't have good pancreatic function. And what I learned by reading this article by Dr. Fell and then subsequent articles related to it is that in a state of copper deficiency, and that would be everyone listening to this broadcast and everyone that you know or have ever heard of or any neighbor that you know or family member, because we're all copper deficient in the United States, but under the state of copper deficiency, we lose 90% of those acinar cells in our pancreas. Now, Dr. Ben was very proud of the fact that he was 80% done with his unpacking. I'm really curious to know what the yardstick was to measure that. But think about losing 90% of your pancreatic function. And it doesn't stop there. When the digestive enzymes drop off, the pancreas, the body of the pancreas, tells the head of the pancreas, you better secrete some more insulin because we can't break down the sugars because we don't have any amylase enzyme that's coming out of the body, so we got to use this insulin thing. And the level of insulin rise goes up dramatically in response to the loss of the digestive enzymes. Well, it doesn't stop there. Oh, there's even more. It's like we're in an internet sales paradigm. It's like, okay, what happens to those acinar cells? they become liver cells. What? Well, the most liverest of the liver cells are called hepatocytes. And what do? They absorb, they store, and they metabolize copper. That's the purpose of the liver. We think it's an iron organ. It's not. It's helping us to manage copper. And the ACE in our cells become hepatocytes. It's called transdifferentiation, which is an amazing process that the body goes through. It changes the physical design and function of these cells. But there's a catch. It's a one-way street. The hepatocytes cannot revert back into ACE in our cells. And so that mechanism of bringing the pancreas to its knees is called glucose intolerance. We are unable to process sugars.
Okay. So the body of the pancreas produces these digestive enzymes which help break down carbohydrates / sugars. However, the body of the pancreas can't produce these enzymes when the body of the pancreas is damaged. And it's damaged because the copper deficient state the body of the pancreas, when those cells, SNR cells, are copper deficient, then they become damaged by the inability to properly move the iron in and out of that cell, mostly out of that cell. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and the thing is that we've known since 1928 that organs that are copper deficient store more iron.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that original study was done on livers of mice in 1928 at the University of Wisconsin. And what this study by Dr. Fell proved that the exact same mechanism happens in our pancreas.
The copper-deficient pancreas cell can't move iron out. The iron builds up and it damages that cell, and then it'll flip from a pancreatic cell into a liver cell. Still copper-deficient, still full of iron, and now for sure not producing any pancreatic enzymes to digest your food. So first step.
And then that progresses to the liver, then becomes copper-deficient, iron-toxic. And then that's where the insulin resistance begins to emerge, but it emerges years later.
Mm-hmm.
If someone has been told that they are type 2 diabetic, this thing started probably 5 years before they got that diagnosis.
Yeah.
And one of my good friends now, very gifted scientist, who you've met, Dr. Ben, when he came to America at the age of 22, he was from southern India, had eaten an Indian diet his whole life, but when he came to America, what do you think he did? He adopted the Western diet, and he fell in love with Coca-Cola, not knowing that the Coca-Cola he was drinking was sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, not knowing that the high fructose corn syrup was blocking the copper absorption in his body, which led to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and type 2 diabetes by the age of 37. And his doctor told him he had a disease. His doctor didn't know what we talk about on these conversations, that the whole mechanism was blocking copper means iron's rising, means metabolic pathways start to break down, and then we get symptoms that align with the labels that doctors of all faiths and persuasions, you know, brand on our forehead.
Right. Yeah, that high fructose corn syrup, which is in almost everything, it seems like, because it's such a cheap sweetener to produce. And remember, a food producer's goal is to have you buy more of their food. I mean, as any corporation, the goal is profit margin. So how do you get profit? You sell more of your product and you make it, you produce it for as cheap as possible and sell it for as much as possible. And then you get returning customers to keep buying it. So you use really cheap ingredients, high fructose corn syrup, and you use stuff that will be addictive, high fructose corn syrup. And that sweetness factor, we've talked about it before. It's more addictive than cocaine and heroin and all these hard drugs. It lights up the dopamine center in the brain, the addiction center in the brain on these PET scans more aggressively than cocaine does. So they get you addicted to the sweetener, and you go back and buy more of it. And they put it in everything from spaghetti sauce to Gatorade to Coke to, you'd be surprised at the stuff it's in. You wouldn't think there'd be a sweetener in certain foods, but it's in almost everything. So be careful and read your labels. A high fructose corn syrup blocks the absorption of copper, correct, Morley?
Yes, and now they're calling it corn sugars, corn solids. Mm-hmm. They're not calling it high fructose anymore because the public understands this now. So if you're getting your food from a box or a can
your car window, yeah.
Run the other way.
Yeah, and
be really careful.
And this goes for your infant formula too. I haven't looked in the last year, probably, but I periodically will go down these aisles in the grocery store just to make sure I'm staying current on when I'm accusing these food producers. and corn solids was ubiquitous in these baby formulas. You name the one, the common ones, the generic ones, corn solids, and it was usually in the first one or two ingredients. It was ridiculous. We've got a quick question, I think, on the text.
Yeah, it was Morley was talking about a WAP presentation that he referenced. What was the name of that?
That was the Weston A. Price Foundation. WiseTraditions.com .org is probably the conference website. And you can purchase all the different talks or the whole thing, I believe. You can do individually or the group. So it was the Wise Traditions Conference, 20th Annual Conference from this year. That would have been November 16th, 17th, I believe it was, in Allen, Texas. My particular talk was entitled Toxic Iron and the Master Antioxidant. But all the talks should be available on their website for purchase, DVD or downloadable purchase.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm going to give an expanded version of that talk here locally. Be looking for that on our Facebook page. And
what are you going to talk about at the Expo show in January?
Well, I only have 45 minutes, so I'm going to...
Do you need more time?
I could take 3 hours, but that's why I'm going to rent a room at the Science Spectrum and do an expanded presentation of that Weston A. Price one. But at the Lubbock Expo in January 11th, I will just give a brief... not a sales pitch, but try to just open people's eyes to the fact of why are we so sick? Why are Americans the sickest in the world of the industrialized nations? Because so many people still don't get that. I'm hoping the crowd at the Lubbock Wellness Expo or some standard Americans who are looking for some answers
who maybe
haven't heard any of this yet, and they just need to have their eyes open that, hey, you're super sick, and it's not your genes. And there's a reason for this, and let's open your eyes to that. So it'll be a real introductory, open your eyes kind of talk. But anyways, back to what we were talking about. The high fructose corn syrup, it kills your copper absorption. We're already copper deficient. Glyphosate binds up copper. That's the main ingredient in Roundup. So what we're consuming, standard boxed, bottled, canned food is going to be rich in glyphosate Roundup. It's going to be rich in high fructose corn syrup. And then the bad oils, bad fats, which that's a whole other conversation probably, like canola, soybean oil. We had a friend bring food, and we were grateful for the food on our move. But there was dipping sauce from this particular restaurant. There were like 5 different dipping sauces that came with the food. And every single one of them, first ingredient, soybean oil. Second ingredient, high fructose corn syrup. It was crazy. But anyway, so as Morley was saying, be careful with any boxed or processed food. This might be a good time for a break, Morley, since we've broken your train of thought anyways. we're about at that commercial break. But when we come back, we will want to finish this thought on the pancreas, how a copper-deficient pancreas attracts the iron. The iron damages the cell so much that it flips into a liver cell. It can't produce pancreatic enzymes anymore. Therefore, you have trouble breaking down your food. If you don't break your food down, you can't absorb it properly, and the whole metabolic chaos ensues. So We'll continue that line of thought when we come back. Stick with us. You're the Cure, and Morley Robbins with us today. RCP123.org is his website. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the show. And Morley Robbins with RCP123.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Morley with us once again. And, of course, along the way, if you have any questions for the two, feel free to text that in. We've taken some texts already, but you could certainly do that at 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. And check out the website, veritasmedical.com. If you miss any programs, of course, they're all archived there. You can check it out and download and listen to all shows that are available there at the website, veritasmedical.com.
All right. We are bringing you some of the science and research. People are so addicted to science, you know. They just want, if a scientist doesn't say it or it's not, you know, on the news or something, I mean, people just have to hear these, some people, a lot of people have to hear these kind of details, and it's good to have that knowledge base. But I do want to encourage people that your ancestors, they didn't know any of this science. They had an ancient wisdom that was passed down generation to generation. They just knew certain things, and I mean, they didn't know Acinar cells and copper deficiency will lead to flipping Acinars into hepatocytes and all this stuff. I mean, it's cool. We can kind of lay out this more detailed explanation, but don't let it overwhelm you, and just understand there's these basic principles of how the body was designed to function normally, and you just need to support it and give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't need. Now, the challenge of that is you live in America. If you're a listener here locally, or I've learned we have some listeners internationally, but if you live in a westernized country, America being the most westernized, it is a huge challenge. Wade and I were just talking off air how difficult it is to find any food outside your home that's beneficial. That's beneficial for your mitochondria, for your cell membranes, for your cellular health, period. It is a major challenge. You have to dedicate time of your day, of your work week, of your weekend, time to think about, plan, purchase or grow or find, and then prepare. And I mean, when you don't spend that effort and time, then you're flying by the seat of your pants like we were when we were moving, although we did plan ahead a little bit. But if you're an average American, just where food doesn't matter, food's just something to make you feel good, basically, and fill your gut, then you're going to be just grabbing and going. And it's, you're going to be eating this
all
junk.
All subs burritos, man.
All subs burritos and corn dogs. But you're going to be consuming this cheap, cheap, cheap soybean oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, that kills your cellular function and inflames your cell membranes. You're going to be consuming the high fructose corn syrup and the mineral deficient food. I mean, you're going to be a total setup. You're going to be a standard American and therefore get your standard American horrible health outcomes. So, and thinking ancestrally, what did our ancestors spend most of their days doing? Food. They'd be out in the field growing food or hunting for food or preparing food. I mean, it was just a constant the whole day. When I went to Africa on a medical mission trip some years ago, that was their whole day. They would wake up in the morning, and it was all about where's your next meal coming from. And they'd either go find it or grow it, or and then preparing it and then cleaning up afterwards. And that was it. That was your day. So we have got to change our lifestyle some and say no to certain things and spend a little more effort trying to source some good food. So there's a little, my 2 cent soapbox there. Morley, back to the science. Did you have some more on the pancreas, or did you have something else you wanted to move to?
No, I want to talk about the other side of this, because I think what people need to understand is that a lack of copper creates a problem with iron. And I want people to understand that there's a patty cake with iron. Mm-hmm. It's very important for our health and well-being. And iron can exist in two different forms. There's a form that has two electrons, and there's a form that has 3 electrons. And what the body needs to be able to do is manage from 2 to 3 and 3 to 2.
Oh, it's 2018.
And what's really key is that in order to turn the +2 into the +3 form, you got to have bioavailable copper so that that iron can be loaded onto what's called transferrin, which is a transport protein, and it takes iron back to the bone marrow so it can make new red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
Very important function.
To go
and
from 2 to 3 on the electron so it can be transported to go do what it needs to do, make some blood.
So copper enables that iron to get bound to transferrin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. And when people are told that they are anemic, wink, wink, it means that they don't have enough hemoglobin, and it's because they don't have enough of this properly bound iron that's getting out of the recycling system. So that's one side of the equation. The other side is the +3 comes into the cell because it's being carried by this transferrin, and it's got to be changed back into a +2. And that happens in the mitochondria, and it's a very important part of the process. And if that does not happen, you can't make heme, which is a building block for hemoglobin, and you can't make iron sulfur clusters, which are really important proteins inside our body. Well, it's copper in complex 4 that's turning it back into the +2 form. So that copper is managing both sides of the iron patty cake. And in a body that doesn't have enough bioavailable copper, the iron will start to build up in the mitochondria. It'll start to build up in the recycling center of the macrophage. It'll start to build up in the nucleus, and it will also start to build up in the cell. Well, all of those different forms of accumulating iron are referred to as the labile iron pool. Think of a swimming pool that's filled with a lot of iron. But when you first hear the word labile, you might think, oh, it's free, it's happy, it's unbound. Well, labile is the opposite of stable. Something that's stable is secure. It's not going to go anywhere. Something that is labile is, in fact, highly reactive. And what I learned recently is that this labile iron pool is vastly bigger inside the cell than I ever imagined it. And as the level of iron builds inside the cell, the ability of copper to perform its functions goes down. So we're back to the exact same conflict between copper and iron dynamics. And in a body that doesn't have enough of this bioavailable copper, there's going to be a buildup of iron that's going to create more oxidative stress, which is going to create more symptoms. And one of the things that is particularly important for people to understand is that in Dr. Ben's paradigm, he has one of the key pillars is called the peace pillar, P-E-A-C-E. And I just want to underscore how important that is, that when we're not in a state of peace, we're in a state of oxidative stress. Because what happens in a body that is under stress, it's not in a state of peace, we lose magnesium very quickly and B vitamins. We've talked about that. But what also happens is the body senses that there's a problem, and it starts to take copper offline. And the body's not being malicious. The body's just being really efficient. And when it senses that there's chronic stress, chronic lack of peace in this person's life, the body says, well, maybe I need to start taking this individual offline. That's a pretty powerful concept to get your head around, but that's metabolically what's happening. And so the peace pillar that Dr. Ben talks about is profoundly important. We put a lot of emphasis on be careful what you eat. Well, we eat two things. We eat food and we eat our emotions. Mm-hmm. And if our emotions aren't positive, aren't loving, aren't directed to our source, then we're going to have more stress in our lives that's going to result in more oxidative stress in our bodies. And I just wanted to emphasize that this collection, this accumulation of iron is a very subtle, very powerful, and not regularly measured part of our anatomy. There is no test that I'm aware of that measures the Laybaugh iron pool. There are ways to measure it, but they're very expensive, and they're done in research studies, but they're not done in routine physical exams by conventional doctors. So I just want people to know that there's this very quiet and powerful force playing in the background between copper and iron, the only two metals that can work with oxygen. And if we can't activate oxygen to make energy, we're going to make exhaust, and that's what causes aging. It's that simple, and it's that profound. So just to reinforce where this process starts, it starts with the stress that we have in our lives, and it starts both in terms of our state of peace and the pieces of food that we put in our mouth. So I just wanted to reinforce that.
Right. Well, thank you for reiterating that, and I agree 100%. When we look at this loss of resiliency that I talk about so much, I mean, our bodies are amazing at the hits that it can take and keep on going. But one of the biggest ways to undercut your body's ability to handle things in life is being in that chronic state of fear or angst or anger, unforgiveness, or whatever emotion that triggers a more of a fight or flight type of mindset. It's because it's that mindset translates to physiology. When you're in that fight or flight mode, real changes happen inside your body on the cellular level that shift these electrolytes around and cause these imbalances to initiate as the process starts that way. And of course, the other pillars in nutrition in particular are important. That's part of what builds and bolsters your resiliency. But when you've been fed iron fortified foods, and that's another point to really reiterate, if people didn't realize that this food's been fortified with iron since the 1940s, and it's what I talked about in my presentation at Weston A. Price, is once it's in you, there's no known excretory pathway. There's no way for the body to say, whoop, I have enough iron, I have too much iron now, let me urinate some out, or let me excrete some out some way. There's no known excretory pathway. You slough off a little bit every day, just in normal skin sloughing and through the bowel sloughing of the skin and that lines your bowel. But that's about 0.9 milligrams for a man and 0.8 for a woman a day. That's not much. So the point is, you're eating iron fortified food for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, however long you've been eating standard American food, and that iron's in you. It is stored in you, and you're overflowing with it at the cellular level, and there's no way to get rid of it. And then on top of that, the copper deficiency we talk about, the copper-rich foods just aren't rich in copper anymore because the soil's not rich in copper anymore. Our farming techniques have depleted the copper. We mentioned the glyphosate earlier, and that's part of the problem. The glyphosate, which is Roundup, is a chelator, and it grabs these minerals, holds on to them, and the body can't use them. The tilling of the soil, when we kill the bacteria in the soil, there's multiple things with this farming technique. Pick the produce too early, 2 weeks too early. So we just demineralized our food, so there's no copper in the food hardly. The organ meats we don't eat anymore, and that's a rich source of copper. So dietarily, we're just not getting it, and then we're getting too much iron. So there you go. It's a classic setup. You've already got an imbalance right there. And then you throw the emotional state in and the stress, and then you throw in the high fructose corn syrup and the other ingredients that are cheap and harmful to your health, and it's this perfect storm of chaos in the body. And it manifests, as Morley said, as oxidative stress. Well, go Google oxidative stress in all these different diseases, from Alzheimer's to autism and type 2 diabetes that we've been talking about, or anything, rheumatoid arthritis, you name it, all the autoimmune diseases, MS, oxidative stress. And again, it's what I went through in my talk. I just went through a number of different diseases, the top ones, the top killers, heart disease and cancer and neurodegenerative disease and autoimmune. And they're all oxidative stress. And the number one driver of oxidative stress, this excess labile iron that, as Morley said, it's pretty much impossible for your doctor to measure it. There's no great measurement for the iron that's in your pancreas cell or any cell of the body. We measure it in the blood, but what's in the blood doesn't equal to what's in the tissue. That's the whole point, is iron gets stuck in the tissue because there's not copper there. We in the past, we've talked about this square dance, that iron needs to be moving around the body and always in circulation, always being recycled. It doesn't need to be stuck in a tissue. Well, copper, bioavailable copper, is what allows the square dance to happen, allows that recycling to happen. Otherwise, the iron gets stuck in the tissue. So your blood test could say you're normal, could say you're low, could say you're high. Your blood test could say anything, and it not correlate with what's inside your tissue necessarily. And we can't forget that retinol, vitamin A, is an important piece of this copper recycling square dance, copper moving iron around. You've got to have the retinol there to allow the copper to work properly. So thank you, Morley, for bringing that piece part up, because that is very, very, very important. We've got a few minutes left, though, so I want you to reiterate anything on that you want to on this square dance.
Well, I don't know that I would have planned the square dance the way we've got it. I'm not sure I would have designed it so that you've got both plus 3 and plus 2, and that you got to have copper to manage both sides of it.
Right.
I think it's a very subtle part of our physiology that is certainly lost on any doctor school that I know of, regardless of what the degree you get. And it's where the real conflict is. Well, the other thing that I learned today, which is fascinating, I'm always clued in on when I'm reading an article and they'll say, this is the greatest, you know, XYZ that's known. Well, the greatest enzyme deficiency in humans is a very important glucose enzyme, glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase. That's a mouthful. It's called G6PD. And there are over 400 million people on the planet who have that deficiency. And if that enzyme's not working right, you're not going to break down sugars right. Well, what I learned today that I didn't know is that the process of sanitation, where they use chlorine to sanitize our water, affects the function of that enzyme. Now, I think that's sort of a watershed moment to find out that this enzyme that's instrumental in being able to use sugars is affected by the very process we use to sanitize our water. So for those who are, you know, a little unsure about the water they're drinking, you might want to focus on carefully processed water that's mineralized and that it has not been exposed to a lot of modern sanitation techniques. So that begins to set the stage for more metabolic imbalance. And it's a mechanism that I was not aware of that is apparently readily discussed in the literature. I guess you just have to be in certain circles. But that was the first time I'd ever seen those two dots connected between sanitizing with chlorine and the impact of that enzyme. And that enzyme, by the way, is magnesium dependent. So then that means that the chlorine is somehow binding up the magnesium. So, again, it's another stressor. And for the listeners that might be avid swimmers, you might be thinking about the price you're paying for that lovely sport, which I used to do many years ago, not knowing that it was having that kind of an effect on my body. So, just again, there's all these different nuances, but I think what's important for the listeners to understand is we don't stray very far from magnesium and copper and retinol and too much iron. We can pretty much connect all of the dysfunction that people have to an imbalance or a metabolic interplay between those key nutrients. And what's important for people to realize is that there's been an alteration in the amount of copper and iron in our food. There's been an alteration in the amount of sugar and fat in our food. There's been an alteration in the amount of vitamin A versus vitamin D in our food. And those three combined have had a significant effect on our body's ability to manage the oxygen molecule so that we don't age at an accelerated rate. And what is diabetes? It's accelerated aging. What is any condition? It's a process of accelerated aging of some part of our body, but diabetes is considered the process of accelerating the aging of the human body because of the impact that excess sugar has on our tissue. So just something for people to think about.
Right. And I want to reiterate on that chlorine. You can also, because I have a lot of patients that will get a chlorine filter to filter out their chlorine, but don't forget the shower heads, because if you're in a steamy shower for many minutes, you can breathe in and soak in through your skin that chlorine also. And they make pretty affordable shower head filters, like at Home Depot and stuff. You can get those. I read an article. Actually, it was one of my PAs that brought it to me, and it was from like the 1950s. And they had used iodine to sanitize. I mean, you think about it. Iodine on cuts or iodine before surgery. They scrub your belly down with iodine. It's a great sanitizer. And they used it in swimming pools and found that it was more effective or just as effective as chlorine and definitely more beneficial for your health. There are some swimming pools that have changed to a very, very low amount of chlorine because they're using alternative sanitation techniques, namely ozone. And there are some municipalities that use ozone to clean their water, not Lubbock. But there's a swimming pool here in town, Southwest Aqua Sports, and I know they use some of these alternative cleaning methods. They still use a little chlorine. They have to, but they're able to use much less chlorine. So if you have saturated your body with iodine and you can use a less chlorinated pool, and I've even read about taking a shower right before you jump in that pool will change your pore structure. It'll kind of close your pores and produce a little more oil, and then maybe you don't absorb as much of the chlorine. So there's some techniques, but best would be to swim in nature like your ancestors did. So,
and I think the point just to emphasize here is that, again, we're conditioned when we have an ache or a pain, we'll go to the internet and we get directed to some rabbit hole that makes it sound like it's coming from Mars and it's a very, you know, life-altering condition. What I would encourage people to do is, first thing is, gee, I wonder what Dr. Ben and Morley might say about this particular situation. I wonder what this is saying about my key minerals, magnesium and copper, and my retinol status. Are they somehow not healthy enough? And is my iron somehow getting out of control? What I would encourage the listeners to do is to start thinking along those more focused lines of reaction, and don't run to the internet, because you're not going to find these, other than finding the links to these conversations, you're not going to find easily this research that we're discussing in a one-and-done Google search.
Right.
This is years and years of methodical researching to begin to connect all these dots. And we're engaged in a very casual conversation about research that's taken years and years of work by scientists to come to these conclusions. Dr. Ben and I are engaged in metabolic shorthand to try to make sure that people understand this. But just know that these core nutrients, magnesium, copper, and retinol, and peace, let's make that another nutrient. Those nutrients are really what direct our reaction to stress. And that's really what this is all about. And having that resilience that Dr. Ben was talking about at the beginning, that's what our ancestors relied on. The vitality of their food gave them resilience in their response, which is very, very important.
Yeah, part of Weston A. Price's book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, he quotes a surgeon out in Alaska, and in particular he's talking about cancer, and that surgeon stated that he really didn't see any malignancies in the native populations that were still eating like a native. And when he would have a native that was eating like a modern person with a malignancy, he really, and if he couldn't cut it out, basically, he would send them back. He would tell them, go back to your village and go back to eating traditionally, because I don't know what they're doing exactly or how it all works, but they don't get cancer. So again, back to this wisdom, and there's a simplicity to it. Things seem so complicated. We have people call or email all the time to the clinic with X, Y, and Z disease. Do you treat this disease? Do you treat that disease? What about this? What about that? Blah, blah, blah. And we just over and over and over, and I'm not trying to minimize their suffering, of course, and this label that they've been given, and it's a true set of symptoms, and it's true suffering and pain and whatever. But you've got to let go of that label and understand it's just a word, it's just a label to describe this set of symptoms. There were enough people that had the same set of symptoms, they put a label on it. They called it something because they saw it so much. They saw this common group of symptoms so much, we called it something. But just dig deeper down and understand that, you know, 100 years ago, all these diseases that were all everyone's emailing me about, they were pretty non-existent. Very small rates of these diseases. That's the whole point. That's why Weston Price went and sailed around the world for 20 years and lived with 14 different people groups to document, because he saw this uptick in chronic disease starting to happen in America, and he wanted to go find people in the world that were not seeing an uptick in disease to see what they were doing different. And that's what his whole book's about. So just encourage y'all to don't get too hung up on your diagnosis. Don't get too hung up on the label. And understand you're going to have to decide if you want to treat a symptom or get to the root cause and try to allow the body to fix itself. The body will re-regulate and refix itself if you give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't need. Or not. If you're not going to commit the time and effort to get educated, make some lifestyle changes, some dietary changes, like we talked about earlier in the show, commit some time to find and source and prepare and think about the food going in your mouth. Don't just put in this processed packaged food without thinking about it. But if you want to get to the root, great. Educate yourself, spend the time and the effort, and do these things, and it'll take some time and probably a few blood donations to get rid of the iron. And you've got to rebalance your minerals, period. And then the body will start to function like it's supposed to function, and these symptoms we call diseases can go away, go into remission. Now, could they come back? Of course they can. Put the wrong ingredients in, or the right ingredients if you want to make disease. But that's it. You can decide to treat a symptom, and you can treat symptoms with pharmaceuticals, or you can treat symptoms with a whole bunch of supplements too. It's still treating a symptom. So make that decision to let go of the label, get educated, and make the lifestyle and dietary changes to allow the body to heal itself, or don't. And then you can just treat a symptom and suffer the consequences of that. And I'm not getting on to people that are treating symptoms. I know not everybody can go out tomorrow and change, flip their whole life and diet around, but you can start making simple steps one by one by one, and that's really kind of the point of the root cause protocol at rcp123.org. There's stops and starts, and you can start working on just one of those steps right now. But I'm going to tell you in a nutshell what it is quit eating processed food, quit taking synthetic supplements, and start eating and supplementing your diet where the diet's deficient, more like your ancestors, and of course be at peace. So be encouraged. All this epidemic of disease overtaking America, it doesn't have to be this way. Continue to listen to this show, and especially all the Morley shows, and we will continue to educate you and bring you some of the science that backs up this whole notion that our diseases are not genetic, they're epigenetic. So, thank you, Morley. Any parting words of wisdom?
No, I think we've covered the waterfront. I hope people can embrace the simplicity of this. It's a very different message than is typically found in conversations with family and friends or with their health practitioners. But it's the science that backs up what we're talking about is very deep, it's very broad, and it's just a gradual process of getting more and more people to be aware of it.
Amen.
Okay. One other quick question before we go. How much iodine for a personal pool?
Oh, I don't know. I have to go find that study again. I did not memorize that.
Okay, it's quite
but
a bit.
I mean, basically they were using these iodine tablets, I believe it was, just kind of like the chlorine tablets. But I honestly don't know. I'd have to go back and find that. But
that's quite a bit, though, for a pool, you would think.
Yeah, that would be a lot. I would think that'd be a lot.
Yes, it would be.
Okay. All right, well.
I'll try to find that article and at least give the reference for the next time for that listener to go read it.
Sounds good, fellas.
Okay. Morley, thank you very much for your time and your expertise
Absolutely.
And knowledge and sharing everything you've learned with us.
You bet. Okay. Thanks for the chance to dance on lines.
All right.
Thanks,
see
Morley.
You in the new year.
That's right. Thanks, Morley. Appreciate it. And, of course, you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, M.D., check out the website, VeritasMedical.com, VeritasMedical.com. Have a great rest of the week, Doctor. We'll see you back here next Monday for You're the Cure.